Ways and Means Public Safety Regulations Subcommittee, Tuesday, June 22nd, 1999, Hearing Room H-170.
We will convene the Tuesday, June 22nd iteration of the Ways and Means Public Safety Subcommittee. We have several work sessions on the agenda today, so we are going to try to go as quickly as possible. First up is House Bill 2258 relating to crime victims assistance, and we have the able assistance of Georgine, our staff, to walk us through this thing.
Yes, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, good afternoon. House Bill 2258 is a bill that extends the period of time that a victim of child abuse would receive victim's assistance. Under the current law, they are eligible for receiving assistance for 3 years. This one will allow them to receive benefits until they're age 21 years old. The bill was heard before the House Judiciary Committee on Criminal Law and passed 6-0. The fiscal impact related to this is $336,834 for the first, for the 99-01 biennium, and the department expects to need one position of half FTE for handling the additional workload associated with what they anticipate to be 125 children asking for additional benefits.
Okay. It's my understanding that this bill is anticipated in the governor's recommended budget, that the co-chairs have ably agreed to support this bill. Is there any discussion on it? Representative Prozanski.
Mr. Chair, just to get us going, since we're in a work session, I'll make the motion to refer House Bill 2258 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Any discussion? Representative Patridge.
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to say I had asked previous to the hearing as to the amount of money that was in this fund. I was told it was $6.8 million. I understand that comes in from other funds beyond the unitary fund as well. But this is just one example, I think, of where we need to, during the interim, audit the unitary assessment pieces to see where they are going and how they are going to go. But I am supportive of this bill. I'm ready to vote.
I couldn't agree with you more. Before I accept your motion, which I appreciate, Representative Prozanski, let's have a recommendation from fiscal.
Okay, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Legislative Fiscal Office recommends that the subcommittee amend the bill to add expenditure limitation, other funds, expenditure limitation of $336,834, and authorize the Department of Justice to establish one position as a one-half FTE and approve the bill.
Well, we're getting ready.
All right.
And that is a change from the A engrossed version that we have?
Yes, Mr. Chair, that would require an amendment by council.
Okay. I'll accept an amendment to incorporate LFO's recommendations into the...
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Representative Prozanski.
I'll reintroduce my motion with the amendment that has been accepted by the committee. It will do pass recommendation to the full for the bill as it has been amended by LFO's recommendation.
Representative Prozanski has moved House Bill 2258 as amended by LFO to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, so moved. Unless you feel absolutely compelled. Every word costs you $8,000, so okay. Okay, we will end the work session on House Bill 2258, and we will reopen the work session on 2258. And it's House Bill. Anyone want to carry it to the full? Representative Minnis, who wants to carry it on the Senate floor. Senator Wardley is so honored us. Carriers for House Bill 2258 in the full committee and on the House floor is Representative Minnis, and in the Senate chambers will be Senator Wardley. Okay, we will now end the work session on House Bill 2258 and open the work session on Senate Bill 345 relating to public safety.
Chair Westland, committee members, Senate Bill 345 is a bill that has been assumed in the governor's rec budget as well as in the legislatively adopted budget for the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training, with a couple amendments that occurred when it was in the House Criminal Law Committee. I could refer you to the last section of the bill, Section 10, which has a requirement that the Judicial Department and Dispute Resolution Commission conduct a review of the obstacles and opportunities for mediation of juvenile delinquency matters. That language was added. It did not have a fiscal impact. The other language that was added to the bill is contained, it's in Section 9, which basically increases the minimum monthly transfer from the reserve account so that the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training can continue to conduct all budgeted activities. Changes it from $390,000 to a minimum floor of $536,000. That is consistent with the budget that passed out of this subcommittee earlier in session. With those exceptions, it's a bill that's necessary for the department to carry out its activities with allowing people who are not public safety employees to attend training, allow them to accredit instructors, but both public and private entities to provide training. In other words, enable them to carry out their mission in a more efficient and effective manner. The bill has been assumed in the governor's rec and the legislative adopted budget, so there are no amendments to the bill necessary for passage.
Your chairman, I have a B8.
Oh. And Representative Minnis may want to speak to the dash B8 amendments
or
to this chair.
That would be fine.
Mr. Chairman, before I move to the amendment, could I ask staff about Section 9 you just read, Larry? Is the $536,000 the amount adopted by our subcommittee action? Or is this to be changed?
Chair Westland, Senator Hannon, that is the amount that would be consistent with the adopted budget that we passed out.
Okay, so it would be the same.
Same.
All right, thanks.
We just needed a vehicle to...
Well, no, that's fine. I just want to make sure we were amending the right amount of money in there instead of them having to come back to e-board and get expenditure authority.
They probably wouldn't even have to come back to e-board if we just left it alone.
Okay.
But in terms of the new percentages, the amount to be distributed to DPSST, this raising of the floor is consistent with the amount of money that they've been budgeted. So it's somewhat of a technical change. And then also, speaking of not-so-technical changes, but as a convenience and to help expedite the process, we have a request. I don't think it's quite fair to say the request comes from the governor's office. It certainly comes with Representative Minnis's and my full support to put an amendment in this bill because the relating clause that deals with the extradition of criminals from other states and the procedures, primarily safety procedures, that are enacted, number of personnel and types of personnel when we're bringing prisoners back to this state. Let me just read it. We amend Section 12 to subject to final determination by the governor. The superintendent of state police shall determine the security requirements necessary to safely carry out the extradition of a person from another state, including but not limited to the number of agents needed to secure the return of a person under ORS 133.743. This has sort of a long history. When we had the Oregon State Police budget here, Superintendent Howlands very correctly stated the extradition procedures and safety precautions that the committee was recommending and that those were in place. Since he testified, there have been some changes to his ability to enact those types of safety precautions and extradition proceedings. We've talked with the governor's office, and the governor's office is in full support. Is that a fair statement? I'm pretty sure that's true. I know Oregon State Police is. And now that we need the governor's office to have permission to do this. But it's my understanding the governor's office is in complete support of this amendment to help put the policies and procedures for extradition back into the good offices of the Oregon State Police. So that's what this is all about. Representative Prozanski.
Mr. Chair, the only thing I want to make certain, and I think it needs to be put on the record, is that this would not subject local police authorities to whatever determination the superintendent of the state police would make. Specifically, I would assume that we're talking about where the state is actually going to be retrieving someone, and it would be through the state police that they would actually be the officers doing it?
No. Currently, how the system is set up, the state police, the budget is through the state police's budget, and they have a person that allocates the funds to the different counties to go in and retrieve. And they pulled that position out of the state police, and they put it in staff, so we feel more comfortable putting it back under the state police. Currently, that's how the system is set up. Larry, do you want to...
Yeah, that's correct, Representative Minnis. The budget for the extradition services is provided through the state police's budget. Up until recently, it was administered under the superintendent's control. In the last few months, as Representative Minnis has discovered, it's not. It's administered directly from Department of Administrative Services through the CHIP LASM from the governor's office. And these amendments basically would have the effect of restoring some line of review on extradition decisions by the superintendent, with ultimate authority still being with the governor.
Okay. Follow-up. I want to make sure that the record's clear that basically what we're doing is we're just shifting the position back under the authority of the state police from DAS. It's not going to have any impact that's not already in law regarding local authorities or how they are to and what their procedures may be in going to retrieve someone from out of state.
That is correct.
Okay.
I appreciate you putting that on the record. Senator Hanna.
The only question I have, probably the staff, Larry, is how did this transfer originally from the state police to DAS if it takes a law to undo it?
Chair Wilson, Senator Hand, that was an administrative decision, I'm sure, by the governor's office as well as the state police. It's not in the law. What's in the law is that the governor has ultimate responsibility for implementation of this Uniform Extradition Act, and he is to designate somebody from his office, I believe probably his chief legal counsel, to help carry that out. It's silent about any role or responsibility for the state police or the superintendent at
okay.
this time.
I just want to make sure that we can get it out of there, but it isn't all of a sudden amended after we leave to place back up in DAS.
No, this is specifically to fix a situation
okay.
that has occurred within DAS.
I don't mind fixing something. I just like to make sure that it's going to remain fixed after I leave town.
Well, I'm not sure we can guarantee the sun's going to come up tomorrow, although I'd say it's a pretty good bet, and I can't guarantee that this will remain fixed, but I'd say it's a pretty good bet.
Good.
The final determination, Mr. Chair, remains with the governor, ultimately. That's where it is now, and that's where it will still be.
Right.
When this is said and done.
Whether it's within DAS or OSB offices.
I understand.
Right.
Okay.
And I don't want to misspeak here, but I am speaking to the best of my memory with so many things running past all of us at a very high rate of speed this time of session. I am almost certain that this is being done with the governor's blessing.
Okay.
Well, I want to say that they were told that their amendment may be coming, but they have not seen the amendment.
It's a pretty simple amendment.
Yeah, it doesn't really change anything. It just moves your position back under.
Representative Mr.
Chair, it sounds like from what we're hearing, based on what's on the record, I feel comfortable moving forward. The reality is if the governor doesn't like it, he has a shot at it.
And it wouldn't happen anyway. I mean, there'd be...
Right.
So,
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I would move dash B8 amendments.
Good idea.
To Senate Bill 345 be engrossed.
Thank you for your motion, Senator. Any discussion on the amendments to Senate Bill 345? Any objection to the amendments? Seeing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, I would move Senate Bill 345 be engrossed as amended to the full Ways and Means Committee with the be passed recommendation.
Thank you for your motion, Senator. Any discussion on SB 345 as amended or the motion? Any objections? Seeing none, Senate Bill 345 as amended will move to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Carriers, Senate Bill. Senator Hannon, thank you very much. House Bill, carrier.
Karen.
Let the record show that Senator Hannon will carry it in the full committee and on the Senate floor, and Representative Minnis will carry it on the House floor. We will adjourn the work session on Senate Bill 345 and convene the work session on House Bill 2328 relating to dangerous offenders.
Chair Westland, committee members, this bill comes to you from the House Committee, Judiciary Committee on Criminal Law. It requires an intensive supervision of sexually violent dangerous offenders during their entire period of post-prison supervision, and has left blanks in the bill to appropriate funds to carry out this purpose. Requires the parole board to identify sexually violent dangerous offenders and to work with the Department of Corrections to develop rules to govern their identification and their supervision. I have placed before you a copy of the fiscal impact statement that shows approximately $29,000 impact on supervision grants for counties and approximately a $5,500 impact to the parole board for payment of psychological evaluations. This bill, as it's drafted, would apply only to those intended to apply only to those offenders who have identified offenders who have been released from a DOC institution after passage of the bill and determined to fit the criteria. Under those criteria, there were approximately 18 offenders identified that would fit under it, and approximately 9 of those are assumed to require intensive supervision. If you have any questions about the bill, there are representatives of both Department of Corrections and the Parole Board here. Representative Mannix may wish to speak to the bill.
Well, we had, if I may, Mr. Chairman, we had a fine presentation in front of our committee, and we were satisfied that this was a very good bill, but we also saw that there was a need for an appropriation, so we sent it over here because of that. I was pleased to see that actually the amount that's been calculated is not an overwhelming amount for what we're trying to do. Mr. Chairman, I don't know if there's room in the schedule of funds for us to proceed, but if there is, I would certainly encourage our proceeding.
I have every expectation that the fact that this is sitting here before us indicates that there has been some acknowledgement by those that are keepers of the purse that these funds are not only available but encouraged to be spent
accessible
by this committee in this specific fashion.
Mr. Chairman, do you want an offer of an amendment to put the necessary figures in? I'd ask Mr. Nisswinder, if you don't mind, what exact figures are going to be used for Section 3 of the bill.
Okay, Chair Westland, the committee members. Section 3, line 10 of the bill, the amount to be filled in that blank is the $29,534 to the Department of Corrections for carrying out this act.
Wait, excuse me, Larry, what was that number again?
$29,534.
Okay.
And the amount on line 17 for the parole board for psychological evaluations is
$5,580. Mr. Chairman. Senator Gordley.
A question about that. Does that cover the possibility of 18 psychological evaluations? Is that?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman. Representative Mannix?
I move that we amend the bill to insert on line 10 of page 2 the figure of $29,534 and to insert on line 17 the figure of $5,580.
Thank you for your motion, Representative Mannix. Any discussion or questions regarding the motion? Any objections? House Bill 2328 is so amended. Representative Mannix.
I move the bill to the full committee with a due pass recommendation as amended.
Thank you for your motion. Any discussion on the motion? Any objections? Seeing none, House Bill 2328 as amended is moved to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. So ordered. We need carriers, House bills. Representative Mannix.
Sure.
Would you honor us by carrying this on the House floor? I'll carry it on the full ways and means. And Senator Gordley will carry it on the Senate floor.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Hannon.
Could I ask a procedural question on House and Gross, House Bill 2258, we sent it out?
Of course.
I just looking through here real briefly. We didn't take any testimony on this, but it has an extension of benefits and payments until the victim attains age 21 of age and applies to claims filed on or after August 4th, 1991. But it doesn't have an emergency clause. If it applies retroactively, where is the emergency clause? Otherwise, you got to wait 90 days after the bill is signed.
Right.
To, pardon me?
I'm going to say right, but I think since it has a date certain of how far back it goes, would we actually...
Well, what if somebody became ineligible during that 90-day window?
90-day period.
Mm. That's the only question I asked.
Yes, fair and question.
I started to raise it, but I just started looking at it here.
Mr. Chair, I mean,
Representative Prozanski,
I'm not sure what the original date was, but if we're going back, because I asked Mary Ellen Johnson, the woman that oversees this program regarding the retroactive, and she said that she was pleased with it, and we had sufficient funds. If when the victim attains age 21 or 3 years, so there'd be the 3 years potential elapse is what we're concerned with.
No, my concern is, Ms. Sherman, say a person was in their 19th or 20th year and it takes 90 days for this legislation to become law after adjournment and the governor signs it. What if somebody loses their eligibility?
May I respond?
During that period of time.
Representative Mannix.
A good question, Senator. Going back over this and refreshing my memory now, actually what they'll do is reimburse this person for expenditures already incurred. For instance, the medical bills would likely have already been paid because this is going back actually 8 years, and they've said they've got enough in the fund. They've had people send in the claim saying, I spent X dollars on my medical bills, and it's just sitting in the file. So they won't be denied access to services right now.
Well, that's fine. I didn't mean to raise a red herring. I just saw it and wondered why it didn't kick in immediately.
Good catch it, though.
But if in this 90-day window the individual turns 21...
You're allowed to recoup the money, if I may, after you're 21, but the time in which you received
the benefits
runs up
is
to that
extended
age.
To 21. Yeah.
There are some things that may be contemporaneous benefits, but the retroactive part isn't going to help those people anyway. If there's some contemporaneous benefit, they're not going to kick in until later on those. But this goes back and says you were 19 and you had these expenses, we're going to recompense you for them. At the same time, it would be easy to add an emergency clause while we're here, if the chair,
Mr. Chairman,
just in case.
I'd like to bring House Bill 2258 back to the committee. Send it out to the full, so the motion is to bring it back.
Let us reopen. Wait, I closed... 2328. We're done with 2328. I want to make sure.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. In that case, I'd like to reopen the work session on House Bill 2258.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to bring House Bill 2258 back before the subcommittee from the Full Ways and Means Committee.
Senator Hannon has asked that the committee accept back to the Ways and Means Subcommittee, Public Safety Subcommittee, House Bill 2258. Any discussion on the motion? Any objection to the motion? Seeing none, so ordered. We now have 2258 in front of us.
Mr. Chairman, I would move now on commencing line 21 of page 2 of the bill that the emergency clause be inserted. And the reason I do so is if but only one person falls through the cracks, this emergency clause will be well worth the effort.
Mr. Chairman? Representative Mannix.
I appreciate Senator Hannon's sensitivity. I support his motion.
Thank you.
Any discussion on the motion? Any dissension on the motion? Seeing none, so ordered.
Now, Mr. Chair, I would move House Bill 2250 as amended to the Full Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation.
Any discussion on the motion? Any objections to the motion? Seeing none, so ordered. Same carriers. Okay. House Bill 2258 is on its way. And we will close the work session on 2258, House Bill 2258. Thanks, Georgine.
You're welcome.
Yeah, that's all we did. We had an emergency clause, brought it back. It's traveled a long distance. And thanks for your ever diligent listening. See if we get ourselves in trouble over here. We will now open the work session on House Bill 3596 relating to sex offenses.
Chair Wilson, committee members, this bill was is a bill that classifies public indecency as a Class C felony. The information that we obtained from the Criminal Justice Commission and the Department of Corrections indicates that this has a very minimal fiscal impact. I have no statement before you because it is classified as minimal, less than $50,000. In fact, the information we've been provided shows that the approximate cost of operation and supervision are approximately $16,000. No additional DOC positions or appropriation is needed. If the bill is passed, the impact will be incorporated into the prison population forecast for future budget development.
Chairman. Great. Representative Mannix.
Given that, I move that House Bill 3596 be forwarded to the full committee on Ways and Means for the pass recommendation.
Any discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Brzezinski.
I support this. I just want to put on the record that the Class C felony designation will occur if a person has a prior conviction for the same offense or another sex crime. So individuals for their first time, if they're cited for this, would still be a Class A misdemeanor, which will not have the impact that I think some of us thought it might if it went all the way up for each and every one. And we had a lot of comments and testimony within our substantive committee from individuals that are part of the sex offender supervision network that talked about that this is one of the crimes that they've seen where people have gone forward with other more heinous type of contact crimes of sex offenses, usually have that in their past. And so we felt this was a way that we could maybe approach this quicker and have them dealt with swifter to keep other individuals from suffering some type of victimization.
Great. I think it's an excellent bill. Does DAS or DOC have anything they want to contribute to the cause? Very good. Okay, House Bill 3596 has been moved to the full committee with due pass recommendation. Any further discussion? Representative Patridge.
I think this is a good thing, but I'm concerned about the fiscal as well. But if that's what fiscal says, it's surprising, but I think this is a great thing.
Well, we're saying it's under $50,000, and I think if Ms. Acuff, who will be responsible for bearing a great deal of this, had some second thoughts, she would be jumping up and down on the chair that she is currently sitting on. So. Yeah, I mean, seriously, I mean, if you've got any reservations, let us know, because... Yeah, I think he's probably pretty right on, so feel good about it. Anyway, seeing any further discussion? Seeing none, House Bill 3596 is moved to the full committee with a two-pass recommendation. So ordered. Carriers? Well, we need one on the full. Representative Patridge, want to carry it on the floor? Are you on this bill?
I'm on this bill. Pravansky, Manis.
We're all on this bill. We're on the original bill. This is a gut and stuff.
Yeah, that's
great. The other bill went over to the Senate directly.
Okay, so Patridge will carry in the full Ways and Means and on the House floor. Senate. Senator Hannon. Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
All right.
For all your help today.
Good day.
Couldn't have got through without you. We are adjourned.